The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
The Believe You Me podcast. So we are back. Oh my God, that fucking coffee looks so good. Why didn't I make myself a pot? Why? I'm looking at you drink it, and the first thing I thought is like, why do I not have a pot of coffee right now?
Well, maybe because we just wasted 20 minutes while you had audio issues and things like that. So don't think you're stopping down for one little second, Lewis, saying, hold on, I need to get a coffee. We have delayed the show for long enough, my friend, so you have to suffer in silence. And it will be silence.
Can I, when I say audio issues, can we explain? Let me explain to the audience.
You don't have to. It's boring. We got lots to talk about.
And I mean this, one, maybe 2 minutes of Bisping having to wait because my wire was a little bit shoddy. I had to change my wire.
17 minutes at least.
No fucking way.
It was a while. Listen, we're already sounding like the debate from a couple of nights ago. We're speaking over too much. We're going to digitize all over the place. And listen, I don't know, who are you? You Trump? I'm Biden? I'll win this fucking debate, baby boy.
Oh, you don't want to be Biden.
I don't want to be Biden.
You're going to start fucking chewing your gums. We made a decision very clearly that we were not talking about the debate or politics or anything because we don't give a fuck. We really don't. I don't know why.
I do. Listen, do you think I would sit there and watch the presidential debate if I didn't care?
I watched the whole thing and I don't really care. I watched it like it was pro wrestling.
Yeah, no, but that's because what it's like. It is just a performance. It's entertainment for sure. Even Lucas, who knows nothing about politics, of course, 10 years old, he was enjoying it. He was sitting down watching it with me and chiming in, giving his opinion on Trump's little outbursts and whatnot. It's funny.
It's sort of set up preemptively stupid, right? Like it's not a real debate. It's like you go for a minute, then you go for a minute, then you go for it. It's like that you can't really get into an issue. The way that the president, these people are supposed to be really intellectual, the smartest people that are leading our country, they're supposed to get into the meat and potatoes of these crazy massive issues when they have 2 minutes each to speak, and then they're talking over each other the whole time. It was terrible.
But if they followed the rules, the guidelines, and they prepared properly, you would be able to summarize your point in 2 minutes. 2 minutes is quite a long time if you're just talking nonstop. It is. And if you put together an intelligent thought with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and a point of where you're going, you could do that. And I feel like Biden
watched a high school debate, like on the debate team, they have 10 minutes to make their point and they're talking about stupid fucking issues.
Well, we don't do shit like that in England, okay? We don't have stupid little pussy fucking debates, okay? Maybe we should. I don't know. I've seen them on movies. That's about it. I've seen them on movies.
Yeah. It was entertaining though. I'll say that much. It was sort of fun to watch. If you sort of disconnected from... the fact that it's the future of our country and we're falling apart and we're on the verge of a civil war. It was pretty fun to watch. But when you look at what's actually going on, you're like, God damn it, dude. I just want my kid. All I want is my kid to grow up at a time where people are getting along and happy.
I kept thinking, I was watching it, you could see Trump was getting pissed off with the moderator and saying, oh, hold on a minute. It was getting a little petty, a little childlike. I was like, is Trump going to go there? Is he going to say, hold on a minute, motherfucker. I'm the president of the United States of America. If I want an extra fucking minute, I'm going to take an extra minute because at some point, if you lose your temper, you are going to come out with shit like that. I'm sure Trump must have dropped that line at some point. And I was like, is he going to get mad enough?
Exactly, but he did say that. He did keep going at one point. He was like, no. He's like, I'm just going to keep going. He didn't give a fuck. I do think for the next one, they'd mentioned maybe cutting the microphones while the other one was talking. I think it's a good idea. We almost thought about doing that on this show. So maybe they should do it during the fucking debate.
Yeah, but yeah. No, that is a good idea. I thought about that. Just cut the microphones and there you go. But it does take away the fun of it. And I think there was like 79 million Americans tuned in and watched that the other day. I think the next one will have even more. And I guarantee they don't cut those microphones because you want those bits. You want those drama. And ultimately, they want those ratings. That's big fucking ratings. But anyway, enough of that bullshit. We're not here. We're not a political show. We're not here to discuss any of that bullshit. Lewis, right before this podcast started, you were having a little, you were telling me about your little boo-boos, your little pains, your little
troubles. I asked you advice as a friend off air, and then you said, no, save it for the show because we're going to use my pain as fodder for you to make fun of me. And then I'm like, oh, no, we'll talk about your training. I know you're about to trash my form. It's about to trash everything I'm doing. Oh, no, it's fine. So I said, fine, we'll do it on the podcast. But yes, I asked you for a bit of advice because lifting weights today, I pinched my back. I was doing leg stuff, doing squats. And I pinched my back a little bit, and it's just a little bit annoying. You know the feeling when you pinch your back a little bit with lifting weights. And I'm supposed to go to jiu-jitsu tonight. And I asked you, I was like, should I skip jiu-jitsu or suck it up? Because I don't really know the answer to that. Like, some people might be like, yeah, suck it up. It'll make your back stronger. It'll make your core stronger. Some people are going to say, you know, no, don't be an idiot. You're going to injure yourself. You know, you don't need to go. You could take a rest. It's not that big of a deal. So I was asking my friend advice as an athlete, somebody who really knows. And then you said, no, let's save it for fodder. So here we are.
Well, yeah, I was just going to, you know, you want to talk about it. I thought rather than have it off air and then have it on air, we'll just have the conversation once. It's, you know,
I wasn't going to talk about it on air. I don't want to talk about my fight on air. I have 6 months until this fight's going to happen.
Listen, so, let me tell you right now, right? Fuck the weights off. If Paulo Costa taught us anything at the weekend, and I couldn't believe this. I saw Paulo Costa online last night. He's back. He was in the gym and he was lifting some shoulder weights and he looked incredibly buff and he looked incredibly pumped up and all the rest of it. But it's like, no, you don't need to be learning how to lift weights. You don't need to lift more weights. You look like a bodybuilder. You look sensational, right? And you're clearly a very strong beast-like individual. You don't need more weights.
Is it me or Paulo you're talking about right now?
I'm talking about Paulo.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I got confused.
Fucking Luis J. Gomez. My God, the arms on this guy. No, listen. You will injure yourself doing squats and things like that. Certainly, as we said before, Lewis, with respect, if you're throwing yourself into the deep end, which you can't avoid, it's too much. And you don't need the weights. You don't need any of the weights. You need to do the skill work. Now, of course, if you've got an injury, then I wouldn't go because that will exacerbate the injury and make it worse. You know, just a little, you know, especially jiu-jitsu, you're on your back, you're using your back all the time. So I wouldn't do that. But also going forward, I just fucked the weights off, right?
Can I tell you why?
You got to learn the skills. You got to learn the fundamentals. You got to learn the tricks of the trade. The elite fighters, right? They do weights because they're supplementing their training to make themselves stronger and things like that. Because when you're getting to the best in the world and you've all got the skills, then of course, athletic difference comes into play. Who's stronger? Who could run 100 meters quicker? Who's more powerful? Who's got the best stamina? But right now, you're like that guy. You're Keanu Reeves on The Matrix. He's just been unplugged from The Matrix. You're all sinewy and skinny. You're just as pale. You look, you've even got the haircut. Take the hat off.
No way. I haven't shaved.
You're Keanu Reeves. You've just been on fucking flops from The Matrix, right? And it's like, oh, I know jiu-jitsu. But you don't know jiu-jitsu. Keanu Reeves was having it uploaded at a fucking 1,000 megabytes per second, and he never went squatting once.
Can I tell you why I lift weights? And maybe I think you'll agree with this.
Go ahead, meathead.
So I'm doing all of the training. I'm sparring. I'm going to boxing and Muay Thai and jiu-jitsu and MMA classes. And I'm doing a lot. Like, I really am. I'm going sometimes twice a day to work out. Actually, most of the time, twice a day to work out. The lifting weights, it's something that really motivates me. When I get back in shape, I like looking good. It's a psychological thing. So going out and doing an hour and a half in the garage and throwing some weights around, it's just sort of, I know it's not adding to any skill set and it's not doing anything in terms of making me a better quote unquote fighter and better able to defend myself, but it does motivate me. And if I'm more motivated and I want to fucking get out there and do more, I think it's only a plus side.
Hey, baby boy, if that's what you want to do, you want to be a bodybuilder, go ahead. I'm just sorry. I thought you were trying to win a fight. Sorry. I didn't know this was a confidence boosting session. You want to stare yourself in the mirror. You want to do all that. Hey, listen, I know a guy that can get some real really like cool. You know, there's like vests, but like the bits all missing there by the armpit. The fucking total dickheads wear them. You know, I can get you some of them. You know, yeah. Get some good steroids, get you all buffed up. You know
Maybe
what I mean?
Should. I'm or thinking about
wanna,
it.
Or do you want to win the fight? Because the two don't go hand in hand. And
do you think me lifting weights is a detriment to me winning the fight?
You already said, I've hurt my back and I don't think I'm going to go to jiu-jitsu tonight because the weightlifting hurt me.
I answered my
it
own question.
It is already having a negative effect on your training. Right? And Jason Ellis, when I look at the guy, no disrespect, he has a little bit of fight experience. But when I look at him, I don't exactly see George St. Pierre. I don't see somebody that scares me with their athletic ability. I see a fat, out of shape Australian with tattoos all over his head. Okay, used to have a very, very severe drug problem. Okay, I don't think you need to be focusing on your personal best when it comes to squats. You need to be focused on skill, technique, and the absolute fundamentals and the basics. I was looking at your Instagram yesterday and you were hitting pads with Diego. Mm. Great guy. It's awesome of him to be training you. But like, I just wish I could like just step into the room and be like, you know, a couple of things. He's catching the pads to you. He's probably moving his pads closer to you than what you're moving your arm out. You got to get that full extension. That was just one thing that jumped out at me. You got to make sure that when you're punching, it's all the way out. You're kind of doing half punches and you're going to develop a bad habit. And then just like little things like footwork, do some footwork drills. Footwork is going to save you. I'm telling you. Like, for example, just get two pieces of tape on the floor and do a cross. Right? Just a cross, simple cross. And all you do is you go in, out, move across to the next bit, in, out, move across, you know, and go around in a circle going in and out and then throw combinations. Just very, very basic little foot drills and things like that. Because footwork, the basics, full extension of and range of motion and technique, all that shit's going to come in tenfold as opposed to, hey, but fucking, I can squat my fucking head off, bro. You know what I mean?
God damn it. I wish we weren't talking about a topic that you knew absolutely everything about and I know nothing about. It's making me furious. I just have to sit here and take it.
No. I'm just giving you advice.
And
it is just the basics. The basics is all you want to focus on, Lewis.
Let me not get this twisted as well. I appreciate the advice more than you'll ever know. And to be honest with you, I know there's a lot of young fighters that listen to the show. I know specifically because they hit me up now and they're like, dude, when you guys talk about it, it's like, it's really good because you're speaking directly to them as well, which is incredible. I'm going to come out to California and you please, I would love to work these drills. I know you're not coming out to fucking New Jersey or New York, but I'll come out to Cali and we got to work on some stuff. Believe me, I want to get better. It is a work in progress. I'm just trying to get, you know, that much better and test myself and challenge myself. So I'm listening to everything you're saying and I'm definitely not disagreeing with any of it. I'm just trying to be funny to a certain degree.
Yeah, no. Of course I know that. Of course I do.
I don't want people to like listen to this and be like, oh dude, listen to what fucking Bisping's saying, dude. You're trying to fucking tell Bisping how it is?
Yeah, like, I know you're kidding. But the footwork drills are so important. And if I was you, I'd focus on more things like footwork drills and striking, just striking basics and fundamentals rather than jiu-jitsu and things like that. I don't think he's a jiu-jitsu guy. I don't think he's a takedown guy, is he?
He's not a takedown guy, but he does have a lot of experience with jiu-jitsu. And that's the area where I am my least comfortable. I mean, I really got to get better there. And even so,
I wouldn't waste your time. I'm serious because, listen, right? Unless you're planning on having a career, right, which I don't think you are, those moves, jiu-jitsu moves, just take so long to learn and then to actually put into training and to pull off those moves in training. It takes a long time. But what you could learn, and this is way easier and way more applicable, just learn submission defense and getting back to your feet. Right. And then some drills of trying to control somebody on the ground. If you get on top, maybe train a couple of sweeps, train getting back to your feet and submission escape.
I mean, I think that's for the most part what the focus is in jiu-jitsu for me anyway. And I'm working with Mickey Gall and his team down at Gracie, New Jersey, which is awesome. But so the other side of it is this isn't going to happen for another 6 months. Jason Ellis just had this heart thing. So now we've got to push it back another 6 months. I'm going to be 8 months into training regularly, you know, every single week, multiple times per week. What I would like is
scary
I'd like...
Scary thought, Lewis. Scary thought. But hold on. Listen. 8 months.
But listen, here's the idea. As I want to develop like a lifestyle habit and ideally take this beyond... Obviously, I'm not competing and I'm not trying to be a fighter, but continuing to train and continue the healthy habits. I should have did it with the last fight. I should have just continued to train, and I let myself get fat again, and I didn't continue. And I kick myself in the ass now, because I could be really good right now and in incredible shape, feel great. I could be just a different person altogether. And your body connects with your mind in a lot of different ways. So I look at it and I go, fuck, I should have done it. So and I don't want to get ahead of myself and start making promises that I definitely won't keep, but I'd like to continue doing this, and making jujitsu a part of it would be fun. It is a great skill set to learn. It's, you know, in my opinion, one of the best things that I can learn for self-defense. And as my kid grows up, it'd be nice to be able to roll with him and to show him things and to learn, you know, learn things together. So that side of it is, those are all these major benefits. The fight is just sort of this thing that's happening. All the other benefits are there, which is getting in better shape, learning how to defend myself, having this bond with my kid, just having the, you know, having a goal in life right now beyond just fucking making a little bit of cash or getting up every day.
Yeah, well, anything like that, it's about making it a lifestyle. Because temporarily implementing anything isn't going to make a difference. Yeah, you get a short-term brush and you get a bit of mental focus. You enjoy it, whatever. Maybe you learn a new skill. Maybe for a few weeks, you know, you shift a few pounds, whatever. But if you don't make it part of your lifestyle, you're going to put the weight back on, and and you're not going to continue to make those gains. And as you said, you know, you do want to. It's fun. It's good to know, A, because it is a very useful skill set. But as you get older as a father, you know what I mean? It is nice to share those things with your son. Like I said to Rebecca, because I've been upticking, shall we say, for want of a better word, the martial arts stuff with Lucas recently.
On Instagram.
It's my duty as a father to pass those skills down to my son. Now, I did it with Callum, but he's off now to college, and now I'm not fighting with Lucas. I'm doing more with Lucas. And I feel bad, because I said to Rebecca the other day, I feel bad because I'm doing more with Lucas than what I used to do with Callum. But with Callum, I was training for my own fight, so I just didn't have time to do that. But yeah, like anything in life, Lewis, you got to stick at it for the long run, buddy. You got to stick
also,
at it for the long
Lucas
run.
Lucas is homeschooled right now. It's a whole different world, right? You guys are in each other's lives. You're around each other this much. Everyone's sort of quarantined. It's a timing thing more than anything else. But look, also, Callum's your oldest child. You know, you made all your mistakes with him. To be honest with you, think of it. The only mistakes you probably made on Callum that Lucas doesn't have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I'm not saying sitting and saying I was a perfect father, Lewis, but I don't think his childhood was riddled with mistakes from his fathers. That's not me. He turned out pretty well, thank you very much. He's at college. He's a straight A student. He's on a wrestling scholarship. Been arrested. Never been in a fight in his life. I don't know. I think we did pretty good.
Okay, this weekend we have UFC on Fight Island 4. Big event happening this Saturday night. We're all going to be watching. It's the most exciting sport in the world. You don't really have to do anything to spice it up, but guess what, gambling exists. That is the one thing you can do to a sporting event that will turn it on its head, and it will make it that much more exciting.
Listen, you always want to spice it up. You want to add a little spice, a little flavor, a little marinade, a little salt and pepper, whatever it is, right? With mybookie.ag, when you're watching your sporting event that you prefer, your desired sporting event, which of course for us this weekend, Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. If you go to mybookie.ag and you use the promo code BELIEVE, whatever you bet, they will double for you. I mean, come on, that's a fantastic offer. So if you're feeling fruity, you want to put a parlay on, maybe it's a prop bet, you know, maybe you just want to go all in on the main event, Holly Holm, Aldana. Holly is the favorite, I believe. What are the odds, Lewis?
Holly Holm is a -125 favorite over Irene Aldana, who is a -105 slight underdog.
Plus 105, you mean? Plus 105.
No, still -105. It's still minus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's a close fight, and it is a close fight. But of course, you know, every dog has its day. And Holly Holm has been around for a long time. She's a tremendous fighter. She was the champion. She was the champion for a reason. But Irene Aldana, I don't know. She's really, really good. But either way, whichever way you want to put your money on, go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code BELIEVE. And as we say, whatever you decide to gamble, they will double that for you instantly. Your winning season begins today over at mybookie.ag. And remember, use that code BELIEVE and they will double your money for you. You are welcome. Have fun. And let's get back into it. Where were we? We were talking earlier this morning via text about things to talk about on the show. And was it you came up with this story? And I thought it was fascinating. The Subway story.
Oh, from Ireland.
The lawsuit. in Ireland. Go ahead. Yeah.
Apparently in Ireland, there was, I guess it was a lawsuit, right? Where the court said that Subway sandwiches, the rolls that they use for their sandwiches, they ruled that they have too much sugar in them to be considered actual bread. So
So the actual rolls are 10% sugar, right? So 10% of whatever you're eating at Subway is fucking sugar, right? Which is insane. So the court case said, no, I forget the details of the court case. That's not important. The important thing was that the Irish courts didn't even class the bread from Subway as fucking bread anymore. And then funnily enough, when I was on Twitter, a buddy of mine, well, Anthony Evans, who helped me write my book, he was tweeted about it as well. And he said, in America, you don't really have bread. You have cakes that are shaped like bread. And I must admit, the bread out here is so sugary. Now, don't get me wrong, it is delicious. You know, I had a cheeky little Chick-fil-A earlier, and I just have half of the bread. A Chick-fil-A sandwich, I take the top half of the bread off, so it's an open-faced sandwich, because it is so sweet. It's like, as Subway said, 10% sugar. I mean, that's fucking insane.
Yeah. What's funny is Subway sort of has a reputation as being the healthier fast food.
Yeah.
That was their whole angle throughout like the 90s with Jared.
Eat fresh.
Yeah. And, you know, the holding up the pants, and he just ate Subway every single day for like a year, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, I thought that, and because I saw that and I thought, that's fucking bullshit. The last thing you want to be eating if you're trying to lose weight is a fucking giant footlong Subway fucking sandwich. That's just insane.
Yeah, but I think what they would do is it was based off of, I guess, the diet, if you read the fine print, was if you have a Subway sandwich for lunch, like a 6-inch Subway sandwich, like the healthiest one on the menu, and then you have like nothing else for the rest of the day, just like low carb, low sugar, low whatever. If the only carbohydrates you're getting in your day are a Subway sandwich, you'll probably lose weight.
Yeah, but come on, at the end of the day, if that's the only carbs you're going to have, then yeah, of course, you probably will lose some weight. But the reality is that there's carbs in everything. There's sugar in almost absolutely everything. That's why when I was doing that keto diet app, you know, I was losing weight, because the less carbs, the less sugar.
Oh, you gave up?
You do lose weight. Well, no, I had a fucking knee replacement, didn't I? But I'm back on it now, baby boy. I'm back on it.
You have a stomach replacement, you had a knee replacement. What does that have to do with fucking keto?
Because everything goes out the fucking window. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, if there's ever a time to drink, okay, now's the time, okay? And then when the knee is healed, the mind is healed, and we go Michael Bisping 2.0. New knees, new me's. Okay, simple as that.
Yeah. How's any feeling, by the way? It's been a minute.
It's all right. Still fucking painful. But obviously in America, you guys have the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. In the UK, we have the EU. Well, we're not part of the EU, the European Union anymore, but it is a lot stricter. If you go to American cereal versus UK cereal, by the way, this is what I asked Rebecca. I said, can you do some research while I just get a quick shower? Find me out some facts about this Subway thing or whatever. And this is what she did. American cereal versus UK cereal. Nothing to do with Subway. Nothing to do with American breads. I don't know why she typed that in, but she did. But it came up with some good stuff. If you go to American cereal versus UK cereal and then type on images, well, yeah, look at that one there, right? Porridge, the US version. Look at all those ingredients. Whole grain rolled oats, sugar, creaming agent, maltodextrin, sunflower and palm oils, whey sodium caseinate, flavored and colored fruit pieces, dehydrated apples treated with sodium souffle, artificial strawberry flavor, citric acid, red 40, salt, guar, gum, artificial flavor, citric acid, niacinamide, vitamin A, palmitate, reduced iron. The list goes on and on and on. Then you go to the UK one.
At the UK one.
Yeah, Quaker, whole grain rolled oats, sugar, freeze-dried raspberry pieces, freeze-dried strawberry pieces, and natural flavorings.
Yeah, but look at the way they spell flavoring with a U. Oh, yuck. Yeah, I would rather take all of those cancery ingredients than have to deal with my packaging with a U in the word flavor. It makes me sick inside.
But that's how it is spelled. Okay.
And was that... So do they not use, is it because they don't use, is it illegal to use all of like the chemicals and all of the...
Yeah, a lot of foods that fly here. And by the way, this isn't a UK versus USA thing at all. It's just an observation what we're talking about here. And yeah, a lot of stuff that flies here is just simply isn't allowed in the EU. Maybe it's a little too strict for its own good. If you look at ketchup, I just did the ketchup, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, the ketchup has way less in it. Everything does. Frosties. You go to Frosted Flakes, corn, yeah, sugar, malt flavor, salt, BHT for freshness, vitamins, minerals, vitamin C, ascorbic acid.
Well, when I'm teaching my son about, you know, healthy eating, that's just what I tell him to look for. It's like, look for words that you know. Look for whole foods, you know, things that you've heard of. If it's all these chemicals and weird fucked up names, you know it's probably not good for you. But, you know, it's too late for me. Do you know how much I love Diet Coke? I would I would put an IV of Diet Coke in my
food
right now.
Coke Zero. If you're going to have, why have a Diet Coke? Have a Coke Zero. Number one, it tastes, why would you want a subpar product? If you're going to put chemicals in it.
What is better about Coke Zero? I enjoy Diet Coke. What is better about Coke Zero?
Well, it tastes like a Coke. A real Coke. Diet Coke and Coke, you can taste the difference. I'll take a Diet Coke.
I like Diet Coke over Coke.
Well, you're wrong.
I do. I prefer the flavor of Diet Coke.
Lewis, you don't know what you like.
I don't know. You have no idea.
I guarantee I'm
fucking lifting weights, drinking Diet Coke in the garage. I'm going to get my ass kicked.
I'm standing there, I'm like, babe, he has no idea. He's having Diet Coke instead of Coke Zero. He's lifting weights. He's doing jujitsu. He's running. He's eating less. He's getting to bed early. This guy has no idea. He's going to get his ass kicked.
My lifestyle has changed for the better in so many ways. I shouldn't change anything I'm doing right now, to be honest.
If you were going to go for fast food, Lewis, what is your fast food of choice?
Ooh, good question. I'll tell you, the thing is, it's rare that I go for fast food anymore, because if I'm going to eat a burger, I'd rather just go and get a good solid burger from like a good place and spend a few extra dollars. But the question is,
listen, we know you're a big highfalutin, mixed martial arting, network running, stage performing virtuoso. Okay. Yeah. But on the odd occasion, because you've all been there, we know you want to go to a fancy steakhouse and get their burger. We get that. You're a big deal. But if you're driving along, right, it's late at night. Like me, Saturday night, I went to Audie's house, my manager. We watched the fight, and I didn't eat anything. And as I was leaving, there was tons of Mexican food. I was like, oh, fuck, why didn't I touch any of this? And I stuffed a few tacos in my face. But that just got my appetite going. Yeah. And I said to Audie, I said, fuck that. I said, I'm stopping. On the way back, I'm going to go to a drive-thru. And what'd Rebecca's like, no, don't do it. I said, nah, fuck it. And it was bad.
just being hot people from California, it's such a serious conversation.
What do you mean?
No, babe. You guys are just good-looking in shape. You're like, no, I'm going to do it. Fuck it.
Yeah, no. I think when I said that, three glasses dropped on the floor. Aghast in horror. They were like, oh, fast food? No, I was going to go to In-N-Out Burger, but even at midnight, there's always a fucking line and it takes about half an hour, and I want my fast food fast.
I was gonna say, how do you define fast food? Because there would be a debate that In-N-Out is not fast food. I feel like fresh made food shouldn't be considered fast.
If it's convenient and it gets to you under a certain time, that I would consider that fast. However, do you want to know what one of my biggest pet hates? If I go to a fast food establishment and I sit in the fucking drive-thru and I do the whole thing, and let's say the drive-thru is busy and it's taking a long time and I'm very patient and I sit there and I study the menu and I know what I want to order. I want to be efficient and I want to be respectful to the people behind me. I'm not going to dilly-dally. I get there and I say, boom, 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 boom. I'll take this, that, and the other, right? And I'm trying to be upbeat because these people, they're working. Right. And it's, you know, it's not the best job working in a drive-thru, right? So I'm always polite as I can to these people. But do you know what really makes me shit the bed?
Let me think. What could make you shit the bed in the situation?
In that situation.
You're very polite. You've ordered the food already?
Yeah. And you go to pay. And then what happens?
They say,
sir, would you like to pull up in a parking spot and we'll bring your food out to you?
I was going to guess this.
Oh, mini fucking nervous breakdown at that point. I'm like, no. If that was the case, I would have parked up the fucking car. I would have walked in and ordered the food and beaten this time massively. I'm in a rush. I've got places to be. I've waited in line. Just get me my fucking food. Don't tell me to go sit in the car park, because now you're going to forget about me. And you're just going to say, I'll take your time. He's not holding up the driveway line. Right, you know what I mean? The drive-through line. He's not holding anything up. Just forget about him. He's looking.
Then
at his
somebody.
Phone.
Here's my thing: is like, if it's starting to take a little while, in my mind, I'm going like, did they forget? They fucking forgot. And then I start to get in my head about how they forgot. And then I have to get up out of the car anyway and go check if they forgot. And they're like, sir, relax. Go back in the car.
We haven't forgot, okay? We're just taking our sweet ass time. Now get in your car. Don't make me call the police and put a fucking mask on. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to kill you. I just want my burger, for fuck's sake.
Oh, shit. All right, so, all right, how do you define fast food? Because that is sort of a fancy answer, because if it's going to be, if it's by that standard, I have to say fucking an Out Burger, you got to go with...
No, In-N-Out Burger's fast. You can go in a drive-thru. They're pretty quick there, but the line's always insane. But they are very fast. So I'd say In-N-Out's fast food. Anyway, I went to Carl's Jr.
That's fast food. Oh, yeah. For sure. But if I'm saying by the standard of In-N-Out being fast food, then I would say, what's the burger place that I fucking love? What am I thinking of right now?
McDonald's? Burger King?
No. It's famous for their burger. Shake Shack.
Oh, yeah. I've never had it.
Oh, my God, Bisping. It blows... what's it called, out of the water. It's so good. Shake Shack's incredible, but it's not really fast food. Like, they take the burger and they cook it for you right there. It's like you're at a restaurant, but you're on a line like you're at a fast food restaurant. I think fast food has to be the burger's cooked, they throw it on the, it's like assembly line, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. You know what I mean? They cook it in advance. They have them there waiting for you. It should be fast. And I do get annoyed when it's not fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Only reason I lowered myself to eating food from this establishment is because it was fast and I am in a rush and I'm starving. Mm. You know what I mean? And when they take the fast out of the equation, then yeah, I do start to get annoyed, because if I wanted real food, I would have gone to a restaurant.
If I'm going to go with just traditional fast food, I mean, I do enjoy McDonald's in a weird way. Am I weird? Oh, am I crazy?
Oh.
It's gross. I know. It sucks. They made that documentary. It'll never get out of our head, but it's just fucking... a Big Mac or a double quarter pounder with cheese, supersized fries, and a diet Coke.
Yeah. Well, Coke Zero is better because it's just tastes like a real Coke. No. Last time I did the Contender, which was about a few weeks ago, I had to drive home from Vegas, and I'm driving home. It's like a 4-hour drive and I'm starving. And there's a place called Prim about 45 minutes outside of Vegas. It's like your last place to get gas and things like that. Some refreshments before you hit the desert. You know what I mean? And, you know, gas stations are few and far between. And I got a pull in and there it is. You see the golden arches and I'm starving and I think, fuck it. And I go to the drive-thru and what did I get? I got a double quarter pounder with cheese and a double cheeseburger and a milkshake, right? And I ate almost all of it and then I just felt disgusting. And then I called my wife. I'm like, why have I done this? She's like, no, why'd you do it? And it's not that bad. It's just a burger. And it's like, fucking relax. No one's going to die. But it is shit. It is bad. It is bad for you. It really is. But
the best fast food, I mean, also, like, if you had to only have one type of fast food forever.
Right, hold on. You've been convicted of some heinous crime. I would say rape. All right. You're a convicted fucking rapist, Lewis. And a murderer. Whoa. You're a rapist murderer.
And I murdered her.
Yeah. No, him.
Oh, no. I raped and murdered this guy.
You raped and murdered this boy.
Jesus.
And you've been sentenced to death. Okay. Funnily enough, though, they grant you a last meal. But they're short on time. And the short on money. It's going to be a fast food meal, but just in where your death chamber is. It's funny. There's drive-throughs everywhere. Every fast food under the sun is within a mile radius of the death chamber. So what do you want? Your final meal, Lewis, what do you go for?
Final meal is going to be fast food. Fast food only. Got to go with KFC for sure.
Oh my God.
It's going to be KFC for sure.
Oh my God.
I'm going to get a look at you. Three-piece meal. I'm going to get two breasts and a leg. I'm going to ask for the wing to be replaced with a leg, because who wants a fucking wing? Let's get real. Then I'm going to ask for the potato wedges, which I heard they got rid of, but this is my special fantasy. They're going to make these potato wedges for me. I'm going to ask for some gravy on the side, the gravy that they use for the potatoes, maybe a little bit of mac and cheese and some coleslaw, two biscuits, some butter and some honey as well. Ooh. And then... 3 or 4 Diet Cokes.
Jesus Christ. Lewis,
and they're going to offer me Coke Zero and I'm going to smack it out of their hand.
I feel like you've rehearsed this question, because you went into a lot of detail there. You really know the Kentucky Fried Chicken menu.
And if they forget the hot sauce, I'll lose my fucking mind, dude. If they forget, have you ever do that? Like Uber Eats, they said everything and they don't bring the sauce. You're like, I can't eat it. Yes. I can't eat anything right now.
Or like if I get fried chicken, I got to have coleslaw with it. And if the coleslaw doesn't come, it's like everything's fucking ruined. It's ruined. I wanted the combination of the chicken with the coleslaw. There's no coleslaw here. Throw it in the fucking trash. Don't come at me with this no coleslaw bullshit. Get this out my fucking face. But it does. It throws you off the deep end. For me, what would I do? I don't know. Just a nice little burger. Nice little burger.
Final meal.
Final meal. Well, if it was fast food.
Final meal, fast food. You have to lay it all out. This is your final meal you're ever going to eat. You've raped and murdered a young boy. Okay. You're living with that guilt right now, but you're pretty hungry.
Good looking kid, though. He was a good looking little bastard.
It was, look, it was a good time. It was worth it. It was debatably worth it.
You got to pay the piper, though. It is what it is. Big boy at night, big boy during the day. You got to pay the piper. Near us, there's a place called Clyde's Hot Chicken. I guess you could say it's like Popeyes or whatever. But yeah, Clyde's Hot Chicken. I get a chicken sandwich. I get a few chicken tenders on the side. I get some coleslaw, get some corn. Ooh, some nice spicy sauce and a fucking Coke Zero. Maybe a chocolate milkshake as well.
Why not?
Fucking Coke Zero, baby. You got to give it a shot. It'll blow your mind. If you're a Diet Coke lover, have a Coke Zero and you'll be like, oh, this is the future, you know?
Today's show is brought to you by Coke Zero, everyone.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by them. I fucking wish that would be good. Anyway, there you go. I think we've talked about that enough. Oh, look at this. Here's how I mentioned a couple of different bad food lists. These focus on health, calorie count, sodium, sugar, etc. Harrington, join us. Show yourself. Explain the list to us, my friend.
Okay. So I have a couple different lists here. One is from...
Hold on. Looking... more and more normal by the day. Lewis, what's going on with your guy?
He's got his shit together. He's healthier. He's working hard. He's in the studio as opposed to sitting on a floor somewhere, which sometimes that happens. That's better.
So it was a good start. But go on, Harrington. What did you find?
So I found two different lists. One is like a little bit more generic, has items that are available pretty much all the time. This other one focused on like 1 year where they just did like a lot of the specialty items. You know what I mean? Like how they do those limited time only and just showcase the worst of the worst. Some of them being Flaming Hot Cheetos, Burger King, a unicorn Frappuccino at Starbucks. We got a Shake Shack sausage, egg, and cheese. Burger King had a Cinnamon Toast Crunch milkshake for a while. And they just had the calorie counts for these things. 780 calories, 19 grams of fat for a small milkshake. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at this one list you sent me, the 11 worst fast food restaurants in America. I'll just quickly go through the list. Number 11, and let's just give our thoughts on this, Panda Express. You like a bit of Panda, Lewis?
No, I never opt for like fast food Chinese food. Something really bugs me about it.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm not overly a big fan of Chinese food in general, if I'm honest.
I love some Chinese food, but
it's
like
too greasy and all the monosodium glutamate.
I mean, I do hate monoglutamate. I hate it. Okay, but you know, that's my one thing. Everyone knows. I'll deal with a little monosodium glutamate.
It'll take a little bit of MSG, a little monosodium glutamate.
That's what MSG is. Okay.
MSG, yeah. That's what we're talking about. In at number 10, Taco Bell. I mean, come on, that place is a shithole, isn't it? It's not good.
I worked at Taco Bell. And
I rest my case.
Terrible. Not good.
I rest my case. Number 9, Little Caesars.
I've never had Little Caesars. If you've had Little Caesars in your life, turn this podcast off right now and we don't want you as a fan. You're a garbage human being.
By the way, these have all got scores out of 100. So Panda Express, and it was, you know, different things in terms of the kitchen, the cleanliness, the nutrients and things like that. Panda Express, by the way, got 73 out of 100. Taco Bell, 73 out of 100. Little Caesar, 73 out of 100. What the fuck? Domino's at 8 with 73 out of 100. Whoever is tallying this list is fucking with us. The person that's tallying this list is who Donald Trump thinks is going to be counting the mail-in ballots. Okay, at the end, because they're all the same fucking number. And 7, again, Pizza Hut, well, Domino's, 73 out of 100. Sorry, go on.
Do you like Domino's? How do you feel about Domino's?
I mean, it's okay pizza, but it wouldn't be my go-to. If I'm looking for a takeaway pizza, I wouldn't call Domino's.
No, well, I'm lucky enough to live on the East Coast. Oh, so we got pizza up the wazoo.
We got the best pizza. If you want apple pie, we got the best apple pie in the world. You know, you want cinnamon rolls. This is New York City, baby. We got the best cinnamon rolls in the world. Listen,
you're not lying about any of this. This is all true.
No, this is what you say. I'm not being me. I'm being you. This is what you say. No,
I get
what
you're saying, but I'm saying that you're being accurate when you say all of this. It's fucking New York City. It's the best of everything. And pizza, it's like we're known for our pizza, okay? California is not known for their pizza. California Pizza Kitchen, pretty solid. But Domino's is a solid go-to if you're on the road. You don't know what the pizza is going to be like. You're in fucking Kalamazoo, Michigan. You're in Idaho. You're in Texas. Who knows what the pizza is going to be like in any of these places? You call Domino's, you know exactly what you're getting every single time. And I got no problem with it. And the wings are baked.
But I'm not looking for wings. If I'm going for a pizza place, I couldn't give a fuck about the wings. I want the pizza. I want the dough. I want it fresh. I want it nice. I want a little Parmesan crust. I don't want it too fluffy though. I don't want it thin crust. I want a little happy medium. Anyway, top five worst fast food places in the country. In at number five, Lewis, Burger King. What do you say?
Had a few. That's the last fast food that I've eaten.
Burger King is fucking awesome, but according to the report, another burger giant chain fared poorly in the rankings with mediocre food quality, freshness, and bad value for money. Burger King was debuted a gay pride Whopper this week, and it has 13,000.
Oh shit, what's the secret sauce?
I fucking don't know. A gay pride Whopper with secret sauce? That's hilarious, Lewis.
What's your go-to Burger King item?
Well, I had it the night before I fought Elvis Inesek driving along the motorway. The night before the weighing, pardon me, I got a triple Whopper with cheese and bacon with fries and a Coke Zero Z.
No, yeah. No, because Coke Zero didn't exist when you fought Elvis Inesek.
With a fucking full-fat Sprite then. All right, and then number four, McDonald's, right? And there's with every minute, McDonald's sells Americans nearly 1,500 burgers, which it tells as being 100% USDA inspected beef, free of preservative fillers, extenders, and so-called pink slime. All right. You like McDonald's? We talked about that. And yeah, then like Jerry Chicken at three. Number two, KFC.
Wait, what was number three?
Number three was Church's Chicken. Not familiar with that one. Yeah. Number two, KFC, because they know scumbags only like KFC. It says KFC's food quality and freshness, its value, and the cleanliness of its dining area all got bad reviews.
Bad? Oh, I thought number two means they're better.
No, this is counting down to the verse.
Oh, I thought I was saying those were
the chain, okay. Which has famously sold its fried chicken in buckets since the 1950s as restaurants throughout the country. We know this. And number one, Sparrow. You know the pizza place, Sparrow's? Yeah. You see it at malls and shit like that? Yeah, that came in at the worst. Terrible. Yeah, but anyway, there you go. Stay out of Sparrow. It's fucking garbage. Not it's shit. It. There you go. All right.
You know what's good with Sparrow, though? You can go... This only in New York City, but this was an old trick when I used to work on street teams when I was like 20 years old. You could just go up to Sbarro, order a pizza or like a bowl of pasta and not pay for it. Cause it's almost like a soup kitchen line. Like you go there, you just go sit down and eat it. Nobody would say anything. It was great.
Oh,
so if you guys are homeless and you guys need some food.
If you are homeless, but I reckon they're going to notice that you're homeless and throw you out. I mean, you're swanning up, you got your fancy watches, you got your sycophants, you got your PR guru, you got your assistants. They're not going to suspect anything from you, Lewis. They're going to be like, true. No, there's a guy who's got his shit together. Anyway, so there you go. There's a little fast food discussion off the top. Subway, 10% sugar in the roll. Stay away.
Beautiful.
Okay, really quick, we have to thank our amazing sponsor, Omigo Bidets. They have an amazing bidet system and they really change the way that you're going to the bathroom. Before I had an Omigo bidet, I thought that you had to call a plumber. I thought it was a whole intricate system that cost thousands of dollars. I thought you had to go to Europe or Asia, or you had to be some sort of highfalutin celebrity or professional athlete, perhaps a Bisping. But no, Omigo makes it so that the average everyday scumbag like myself or Mike Harrington can also have a bidet.
Well, the Bispings, the Chinese chapter, they've been using these things for a while, they're fucking decades now. This is old hat to them. But you're right. I got mine sent right at the start of this pandemic. And you're right. It takes 5 minutes. Even a dummy like me was able to do it. Now, if you go to the website, of course, we're talking about bidets. We're talking about the future of arse cleaning, because it really is. You don't have to touch anything. I mean, if you want to not wash your hands afterwards, you could do that, because technically you're not touching anything. I'm not condoning that. I'm not endorsing that. Lewis, with your hand up at the back.
Well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. You do pat your butt dry, because I think a little bit
you
of
toilet paper. You don't pat your butt dry if you get the creme de la creme, top of the range.
All right, I don't have the creme de la creme.
Hey, listen, what you and Harrington get up to in your spare time and he can't finish, that's up to you. If you don't get Harrington's creme de la creme, that's all good. But with the creme de la creme, you get a little... You get a spray. It will literally blow dry your ass.
Why did I not get the blow dryer one? I'm furious right now.
Does yours have a little directional function? You can go forward a bit, maybe back a bit, left, right?
Of course. Listen to me. I go all over the place. I spray it. It's kind of fun. I write my name on my butt. But I do have to pat it dry. Like, I just had a nice, delicious steak dinner. And I go, and I'm done. But it's a little bit of toilet paper, and that's it. So I do have to wash my hands. I'm not a Bisping. It's so weird that I'm a scumbag, and I have to wash my hands after I go to the bathroom. What a weird, ironic world we live in.
Well, I always wash my hands when I go to the bathroom. I just want to throw that out there. But let me tell you, we are talking about the creme de la creme there, which is a little bit more pricey. But there is an Omega bidet for every budget out there. Because in my son's one, I'm not sure of the price. I think it's under $50. It just screws on real simple. And it's the same, essentially the same thing, but it hasn't got all the bells and whistles. It won't blow your ass dry and things like that. But it will save on toilet paper. It is totally natural. It does take 5-10 minutes to install. And you just twist a little button, and there you go. Clean as a whistle, Lewis.
Do that again. That was perfect. That was a perfect sound effect. Here's the coolest part of all of this, okay? If you go to myomigo.com/BYM, that is myomigo.com/BYM, we're going to take 15% off your Omega bidet. That was, oh my God, that is.
I'm taking a shit right now. In fact, I'm wiping my ass as we speak, right? Hands free. I mean, it's the future. Everything's hands free. Bluetooth, blue this, blue that. Blue fucking toilet lights, I'm telling you, because it is blue. Look at that. I've just dropped one. No one even knows. I've got two hands. I'm sending emails. This could be you on the toilet, multitasking, FaceTiming, sending emails whilst wiping your ass with no hands.
MyOmigo.com/BYM. MyOmigo.com/BYM. Take 15% off. Go grab your bidet today. Okay. Where were we?
Are you okay there, Lewis? You good? Yeah. I see you. Yeah, sucking those nuts out of your teeth. I saw you just had a little snack there. You are living the fighter's life, aren't you? Look at you eating RX bars.
Yeah, it's a good bar.
They are good. Limited in their ingredients, unlike the fast foods. So, if anybody wants a healthy protein bar, go for the RX bar. They're very, very good. Listen, if we're going to talk about mixed martial arts, Lewis, and we're going to talk about news in the mixed martial arts world, then this week has really been dominated by Conor McGregor, Dana White, Dustin Poirier, and Khabib Nurmagomedov. This is like this weird, not love triangle, love quadruple, love square. It's a rectangle of love. 4 points. It's Khabib, Conor, Dana. And
two are a little longer, two are a little bit shorter. You're right. There's a rectangle of love.
It's a dodecahedron of action. So listen, Harrington, give the viewers a brief overview. So obviously, Conor wanted to fight. I don't know. How do you explain this? They were going to fight Dustin Poirier. Harrington, lay it all down. Break it down. This is what you do.
Okay. So essentially what happened was when those text messages came out about Dana White and Conor McGregor going back and forth about what their plans were for the summer, their plans were for the season, et cetera, Khabib came out and said, it's an absolute disgrace. What Conor McGregor didn't know is that Khabib had agreed to doing an entire season of The Ultimate Fighter. They were going to do McGregor versus Khabib for the that was going to be the season of The Ultimate Fighter, and then the rematch at the end of the season. Khabib said that was such a disrespectful move by McGregor. Fuck that guy. I'm never fighting him again. Never, no matter what Dana says, never happening.
And he actually said that. Where are you getting that quote from? Because I saw the video. I saw Dana was talking to Barstool Sports, and I saw that he said, listen, we were working on Khabib versus Conor for the comeback of The Ultimate Fighter, which, by the way, incidentally, would have been fucking massive. That would have been perfect viewing.
On ESPN, which is crazy.
On ESPN. That would have done ridiculous fucking numbers. And not to mention, the rematch would have been even bigger. 2.4 million buys, pay-per-view buys in the first fight. This would have made it even bigger. Have made both of them huge fucking superstars. They already are that, and made them a ton of money, and not to mention a title fight for Conor McGregor, which I'm sure he wanted. But where are you finding that quote, though, Harrington?
I'm sorry, Mike, I apologize to cut you off, but is it necessarily a title fight? Because that's only if Khabib should get past Justin Gaethje, correct? Because that fight happening. Yeah.
Nope. Fair point, Lewis.
So I think the thought would be that Khabib versus Conor, even if Khabib didn't have the belt, they would be fighting for a number one contender shot. Yeah.
No, that is a fair point, and I thank you for bringing that up. But no, still, regardless, Harrington, as I said, I saw Dana on Barstool Sports saying, Conor fucked that up when he released those messages, but I never saw the quote from Khabib. So where are you getting that from?
So the quote is coming secondhand through Dana White. You got what I'm saying?
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so it's like Khabib hasn't, I haven't seen Khabib come out. I know he did do, actually today, he was doing a virtual press conference. So I'll look that up and see if anybody followed up with him.
Why would Khabib care that much, though? Like, I understand, like, Dana giving a fuck, and I understand it's breaking guy code, and, you know, I understand, like, you just don't go do that. But why would Khabib give a fuck that much, especially if you don't like the guy? Don't you want to beat him up even more now?
Yeah, no, that was my point. That's why I asked Harrington if he could find the quote and where he was saying that. Because, yeah, again, to your point entirely, I understand why Dana would be pissed off, and rightly so, you know. But why Khabib would be so pissed off is kind of, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I get it. It's honorable. You know, if he thinks Conor shouldn't have done that, great. You know, he probably shouldn't have done that. But still, to your point, if he wants to fight him, he gets the chance to go in there and pummel him and then choke him out again and make him his little bitch in front of the world. So I would have thought that gave him more reason to want to fight him. So kind of curious.
Yeah, if there was also more like personal information about Khabib or the negotiations there, you know, if Khabib had more like skin in the, you know, the Texgate game, I would go like, all right, I get it. But it just seems sort of he's an outside perspective. It doesn't really matter. You know, Dana and Conor are having their little beef. You sit on the sidelines. It will more than likely work itself out anyway.
Devil's advocate, please. I feel, what about this? This is a theory, okay, that I've just come up with, perhaps. Perhaps all this, you know, Khabib, I know it's Khabib, but Khabib just comes off way easier. So I'm going to say Khabib, and you can all fucking deal with it, okay? Khabib. maybe all this little bit of drama with the DMs and all the rest of it is giving Khabib flashbacks to the pre-fight hype of the last fight and all the shenanigans that went on. Remember, it was kind of ugly, and those press conferences were kind of dark, and there was a lot of things said that, you know, maybe low blows on both sides or whatever. And maybe Khabib, that just brings it back, and he's like, you know what? Yeah, fuck that. That was an ugly side last time. I'm better than that. I'm bigger than this. And I don't want to go down that road again.
This is Ali Abdulaziz says, I talked with Khabib yesterday. This man, is human trash. He's like garbage. When you touch shit, you smell shit. He said he doesn't earn the fight. You understand? He doesn't earn the fight.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's a shame. And it's certainly a shame. To be honest, that's a shame for everybody involved, including the fans, because everyone would have loved to see that. Fucking Khabib and Conor as coaches on The Ultimate Fighter, and then they get to fight again. Would have been awesome. Now,
there's something
course,
a little bit off with this story, can I say, though? Like, where I don't know that fight is necessarily off forever. Once again, it just seems like this story is a little bit off. Whatever him being annoyed about just seems a little bit like, I can't sink my teeth into why he would really give a fuck. So maybe the smoke will clear and we'll be able to figure this out. And, you know, a lot of guys just talk.
Who knows? Maybe Khabib just didn't want to fucking do The Ultimate Fighter, and this is like the perfect excuse. Just blame it on Conor. Oh, you know, Dana, brother, I was going to do The Ultimate Fighter, but no, not now. This guy talked too much. He's chicken. I choked this chicken once already. Yeah, no, it's not. It's every Dagestani in the world or Chechen or whatever. Maybe he just didn't want to do it, you know, but as you said, to your point, Conor's the biggest star. If he comes back and gets a big win, then you can't really deny him. But there's more to this story, though, isn't there? Because then Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor, they were talking about fighting. So then McGregor Sports Entertainment said, okay, we're going to do a televised sparring fight. Okay. Right, Harrington, what details can you give on this? Because it sounds like they were going to do like an official exhibition match. They were going to sell the TV rights. They were going to give Dustin Poirier $500,000 towards his charity of choice. And then they were going to raise some more money and give all the money to charity. And that's what Conor put out there. Poirier said he accepts. And then all of a sudden, boom, quick U-turn. UFC have now officially offered Dustin and Conor the fights. Harrington, I see you just itching to chime in. Chime away, my brother.
Just a couple of details to clear up there. The plan was to co-promote it with Dustin Poirier's The Good Fight Foundation. If you remember, that was the charity where Khabib took off his jersey. They signed him for each other. Like, a lot of people in the MMA space are really getting behind The Good Fight Foundation for Dustin there. It would be co-promoted with that. McGregor Sports Entertainment would have zero to do with the UFC open weight open air sparring. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe you could explain a little bit about that, Mike. But then the UFC said, all right, if you guys really do want to do this fight, screw that. Like, screw your exhibition. We will give you guys this fight. That's when Poirier hopped on Twitter and immediately said, I accept. Nobody knows where McGregor's at with the UFC negotiations. Mm.
Interesting. So he was willing to do it straight away in a charity, setup, if you will, but the actual real fight yet to accept on that. No, that is interesting. But you got to give Conor, I kind of like what he did there. He said, fuck it, we'll do our own fight. Of course, they can't go out there and fight, but they could technically do a sparring match. I don't think there's any rules against that. And now, of course, people don't want to see a sparring match, but they could say, yeah, it's going to be a hard sparring match. It's almost going to be a fight. You know, it is, and it would be a fight. Yeah, there's neither one of them. We're just here having a light little move around when there's cameras on and TV on.
What is the criteria that makes a sparring versus a fight?
Well, sparring, you're just working together. You're trying to have a nice little spar. You're trying to get a work around. You're trying to work on some technique and things like that. A fight, you're trying to fucking kill each other. But I'll tell you this, in a sparring environment, even if a few extra people just come into the gym and you don't know who they are, and sometimes they lean against the ring and they're just watching the sparring, you know about that. And the ego in the fighter says, oh, well, I'm, and if the guy connects you with one on you, you're like, fuck that, I'm going to give him another back. Because you always do it. Every sparring session starts the same. Just nice and light. Yeah, just oh, yeah, we're just going to work. And then you get caught with him. Fucking motherfucker. Boom, and you give him one back. And they're like, okay. Bang, and then they give you one back. And then before you know it, you're having a full-on fight. And that's kind of what happens in a lot of sparring matches. And I guarantee if there was cameras there and there was press there and there was a bunch of people there and it was televised, for sure, that would be a fight and not a sparring match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt. I wonder, like, what would sort of, like, what would stop them from just fighting each other? I guess the real difference would be that it wouldn't be sanctioned. It wouldn't go on their records. It wouldn't be for anything, you know, except for the fact that they said they did it. But technically, these guys can fight anytime they want in a gym, quote unquote, spar. I mean, they're not, it's not like they say, well, hold on, that was more than 70%. And, you know.
But
Conor won.
Go ahead, sorry.
When they fought, he won by knockout super early, right?
First round.
Yeah.
First round, and it was good. It was a beautiful performance. He made it look easy, in fact. Dustin's got better, and that was at 145. Conor was at 145 as well, but Dustin used to struggle making 145, as did Conor, though, to be fair. But then the UFC dived in and said, well, fuck that. If you guys want to fight, fuck it. Here's a contract.
And there I like that go. Fight, to be honest with you. I think that's a great fight.
It is a great fight. It's a great fight that a lot of people would want to see. You know, it's certainly a better fight than him calling out Diego Sanchez, if I'm honest. I'd much rather see him fight Dustin fucking Poirier. That's a legit fight.
What's going on with Conor, though? These are sort of weird fights, though, for him. You would assume, one would assume that Conor would only be going for massive, massive fights, super fights, whatever weight class, doesn't matter. You know, guys that he hasn't beaten before, you know, opting for that Nick Diaz fight, possibly with Nick Diaz talking about coming back, rematch with Nate, the Masvidal fight. These just massive, massive fights that really seem to make sense. And then there's these little ones like Dustin Poirier or Diego Sanchez, where you're like, what's going on, Conor? Like, I like it. I like the fact that Conor's like, fuck it, I'll just fight any of these guys. But it's just a little bit out of character for both Conor and for the UFC to even be entertaining these conversations.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with you on that one. I think Dustin Poirier is a mega fight. I obviously it's a rematch. Conor won, so there's a storyline there. Dustin Poirier became the interim lightweight champion, obviously lost to Khabib. Then he came back with that stunning performance against Dan Hooker. That was an amazing fight. It was a war, though. Yeah. It was a war, and that'll take its toll. But still, I would love to see Dustin versus Conor. I would love to see that. I think it's an incredible fight, and that's a legit fight. And the UFC, they have a lot of big fights at the moment. And let's remember, did we talk about this? Colby versus Masvidal is the fight that they're trying to make.
Is it official?
Dana White said they were going to do Masvidal versus Diaz, the rematch. But then after Colby beating Tyrone, he's like, yeah. At the press conference, he said, that is the fight to make. So I think that's what they're going to target.
We didn't speak of that, but that's awesome. That's amazing.
Oh, it's a huge fight. It's a massive fight. Colby versus Masvidal, because they hate each other. They used to be friends. They used to train at the same gym. And they're, you know, 1 and 2 in the division. That's a fucking beautiful fight. Conor versus Poirier. Yeah, I would love to see that. But it's just interesting. What game is he playing? Because as Harrington said, Poirier put, I accept immediately. And then what? Harrington, still no word from Conor at all. What is the latest with it all?
I mean, I'm looking on Conor McGregor's Twitter right now. I'm not seeing anything about, you know, accepting the Dustin Poirier fight. Just that, yeah, that he wanted to do that that sparring match. That's still the last thing up.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, let's stay tuned to that one, see how it plays out. What else have we got? Well, we were going to talk about this. Joshua Fabia. Does that name mean anything to you, Lewis?
Yeah, he's a trainer. Give me a little more. Is Diego Sanchez's trainer?
Yeah, the School of Self-Awareness.
Yeah, he's like a weirdo. We talked about him on the show a couple months ago. And no offense to him, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm not saying, you know, maybe he's not a weirdo, but...
He's a weirdo. Let's be honest. He's a fucking weirdo. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be polite because I know Diego and I like Diego and I respect Diego. And we shared a Hall of Fame ceremony together. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't want to shit on Diego Sanchez and I'm not going to. But I will somewhat shit on that fucking coach. He's not a coach. He's a charlatan. He's a pretender. He's a fake, whatever. Listen, if it makes Diego feel good, then great, right? And Diego, who did he fight just a couple of weeks ago or last week?
Oh, I forget his name.
Yeah, the Australian guy. And, you know, Diego's tough as fuck, but he's got this coach around now that's doing these very, very strange corner methods, strange training methods. One could say it could be equated to touch butt in the park. That was a famous line from Nate Diaz there. But this guy's out of his mind. And he's been attacking people left, right, and center. There was a thing recently on Fight Island where Matt Serra, friend of ours, obviously hosts the UFC Unfiltered podcast. And they were talking about the time when Diego Sanchez fought Michel Pereira, right? And I think on the podcast, maybe Matt Serra said some disparaging words about this coach, Joshua Fabia.
Did you call him a charlatan?
I don't know if you called him a charlatan. I don't know, but rolls the tape because we got it on tape. So Matt Serra is in Fight Island and then Joshua Fabia approaches him whilst he's having breakfast. And roll the tape. Let's take a look.
I'm just saying, when we see things, it'd be nice to acknowledge the comparison there. It'd be nice to acknowledge that what just happened to that man could have definitely happened to Diego, and it clearly didn't.
As he's talking to Matt, he's like going in on something about how he's not getting his respect from the media, and like Matt was a part of all this. And Matt was like, me? What are you talking about? Because he likes Diego. Matt is a fan of Diego. So I said, let me get my phone out.
Yeah, let me get my phone out.
No, I understand, man. I understand.
Listen, do me a favor. Just, you don't know what we're talking about right now. I understand. I respect Diego. I don't know you too well.
Right.
I don't know the point you're trying to say coming after me yet. From what I see with your training, I don't. I think it's silly.
I think it's silly.
All right, you're not my guy, you're not working my guys.
Right.
Good luck with Diego. I wish Diego the best.
Right.
You're with him. So if he wins, I'm sure you're going to get some acknowledgement.
Well, I've been
training a very long time, and
that's not my point. My point is that when I'm being brought up and you don't even want to say my name.
I don't need to. How about this? Honestly, I don't even know your fucking name.
That's my
wow.
point.
Wow.
Carry on.
Wow, pause for a second because I need to react to what a fucking great line that is. I don't even know your fucking name.
It is good though. Is that, what do you mean? I don't want to say your name. I don't even know your fucking name.
I love it.
I saw a cleaner edit of this, but whatever. This is from Looking for a Fight. Carry on. Keep playing, Brian.
Oh, he said there's nothing else in the video.
Listen, you show me your friends, you show me who you are. I'm not calling you a jerk off.
We had the first episode of Looking
For... Anyway, all right. Yeah. Anyway, there was more to it, but you get the general gist there. So
that's
he
awesome.
Approaches Matt Serra, starts talking shit. And as we know, Matt Serra's not going to take no shit off anybody. And I like what he says. He said, go ahead, make some money off Diego. Hope you do well. But remember, he's been training for a long time. He was fighting guys before he even fucking met you. And now this guy's coming in. And I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to talk shit about any coaches. I don't know the guy. I don't know what he does. But the guy's out of his fucking mind. And he has some very, very weird... training exercises. In fact, there's another one here. It shows them at the PI and they're running around. I think this is designed to be a warm-up exercise. It's something I think that children would fucking do. I take Lucas to jiu-jitsu, and at the end, you know, those big inflatable balls, they play like a game of dodgeball where they throw the big inflatable balls at them and things like that. So I think they're doing like a warm-up exercise. But on this occasion, Joshua Fabia is running around chasing them with an actual fucking knife, right? And they've got to get out the way of him. Roll the tape, press play. All right, we've seen enough. Lewis, I take it back, buddy. I take it back. I was wrong about my tips about your training. That's what you've got to do. Instead, fuck the jiu-jitsu, fuck the footwork drills, do the weights, but just imagine everyone has a knife and you're just trying to stab each other with imaginary knives.
Everything's a knife.
What the fuck is that? My God.
Yeah, it's he seems a little bit like a weirdo, but I don't know.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy. And I'm sure he's got the best intentions. But this is, you know, in this sport, you see it time and time again. And it's a big deal to me. I see people all over mixed martial arts and even other combat sports. They have no right to be there. They're fakes. They're charlatans. They're wannabes. They haven't stepped into a fucking octagon or a ring or a mat or any kind of competitive environment. And then these guys have the fucking audacity to stand there and try and train you and coach you. As I've said this many times, you can learn the combinations of pads. It's easy. That's a 1-2. That's a 1-2 left hook. 1-2 left hook. Oh, there's an uppercut. Any fucking moron can remember some little sequences. There's a very, very big difference to being a pad man and being an actual trainer and a coach and working on this and trying to coach somebody along. And I see it all the time and it pisses me off when I see these people that profess to be coaches and sit there and they talk and they spout all this bullshit. And the reality is they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, devil's advocate, maybe that's where this guy does pick up the slack, because he doesn't seem like he knows the training side that well, but maybe he's a great life coach for Diego. Maybe he taps into something in him psychologically where it really motivates him to get up in the morning. And I talked about that earlier with just sort of like lifting weights, right? Like I like lifting weights because it makes me feel good and it sort of motivates me. And if I'm going to burn more calories than I'm going to get, it's not going to hurt, you know, until I hurt my back and I can't go to jiu-jitsu. You're right. But maybe there's just a level of motivation there. Maybe he has a bond or a friendship with him. You've touched on it many times with your relationship with Jason. And you've also talked about having training partners that it was always one of the points. It was years ago you mentioned this and we've talked about it a couple times since, but it was always sort of this astute point that always stuck out to me, where you talked about how sometimes you're training partners or sparring partners weren't necessarily the best in the respective fields. It wasn't like you had, you know, the absolute highest level jiu-jitsu guy with you at all times, or the absolute highest level, you know, Muay Thai guy or whatever it is, but it was guys that you had to have a bond with, you had to live in a hotel room with, you had to go on the road with, you had to share meals with, they had to be with you during a weight cut where, you know, they're seeing you in very like, compromised positions where you're in a bad mood, you're fucking beaten down. They're with you when you win, they're with you when you lose. So there's so much more that goes into it that I was just sort of found that very fascinating. That's something that people don't really talk about that much.
Yeah. No, I said that and everything you said does apply, but also you need to have a guy that's honest with you and telling you the truth. And from the fights I saw in his corner, the corner where it was out of this fucking world, he was telling Michelle Pereira, sorry, telling Diego in the Michelle Pereira fight when he was clearly fucking losing. He was like, oh, amazing. You're doing so good. You're winning the round and all the rest of it. The guy's out of his mind. But to your point, and what you just said is absolutely bang on. You know, if they have a strong relationship and a strong bond and a strong brotherhood, friendship, whatever the word is, which they clearly do, you can see Diego has a ton of respect for him. And at this phase in his life and this stage of his fighting career, whatever he wants to do to mentally get through it, good for him. And if he's on this new I don't know, for want of a better description, kind of a hippie kick, if you will. There's a bit of, you know what I mean? There's definitely a bit of fucking voodoo, fucking come by our bullshit going on. I don't know what it is. School of self-awareness. I don't know what you fucking, I don't know what that means, right? But there's a bit of come by our meditation bollocks going on. If that's what he wants and that's what he wants to get through and that's his approach to all this now, and this is martial arts and meditation and all the rest of it, great, fine. Awesome. More power to you. But just fucking keep it off my YouTube screen because I don't want to see it because this guy's out of his fucking mind.
I want to keep this guy.
Bullshit people. It's not. You're going to get someone hurt. Somebody's going to get fucking hurt one day.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. Without this guy being in the sport, I would have never seen Matt Serra get to put him in his place. So for that, I will always be appreciative of the fact that he's around because that was awesome. And I love Matt Serra. I fucking love Matt Serra. He's one of the coolest guys.
He's the best. When I did Looking for a Fight on Abu Dhabi last time, fucking hell, that guy's a riot. He just had me laughing my head off.
He's a good fucking dude. He's just like a good, straight up solid. So it's funny because like he's like a New York guy. I think that's the other thing. It's like people, you have a New York thing about you. So I think you get along with New York guys probably better than you get along with California or LA people.
Yeah, no, for sure. East Coast is definitely more my, my cup of tea. You know, they can bust balls more. They can take a joke more. They can take an insult better. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'll be out here and I'll just swear a little bit. And they're like, oh my God, why are you being so aggressive? I was like, I'm not being aggressive. That's just how I talk. Do you know what I mean? It's literally how I was talking to some guy that shall remain nameless. And we're on the phone and we were having a disagreement. He's like, why are you shouting? I'm like, I'm not shouting. If I was shouting, I swear to God, you would fucking know about it. Fucking know because I'd be screaming. I'm not going to do a middle of the road shout.
Yeah.
If I get to the point where I'm actually shouting, I'm going to be screaming down the phone. I'm going to be saying things I don't mean. Every other word will be a swear word. It'll be a fuck, shit, cunt, this, that, fuck you, blah, 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 every 2 seconds. Right now, I may be raising my voice and being assertive and being a little bit stern, but I'm in no means
what I always say in that moment. I was like, I'm not happy. You should know that. What you're hearing now is I'm not happy. So what should I sound fucking chipper and happy right now? Should I sound like I'm happy? Because I'm not happy with the situation. So I got to put on a fucking smile? No.
Exactly.
That would be crazy. That would be a crazy way to react.
Yeah. I'm not happy with this situation, but I'm going to, well, I don't know, actually. Maybe being polite and calm, you would get to the bottom of it a little quicker. You know, I'd say, well, that's all well and good, sir. But I got to say right now, that really doesn't align with my wishes and my needs and my interests right now. And I'm going to have to disagree with you. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do that. I've got to say, no, fuck that. That's bullshit. You know, let's just call a spade a spade. All right, let's get into some more of these.
You want to do some quick hits?
Topics. Go on then, Harrington. Give us a quick hit in fashion.
Before we head over to Harrington real quick, go subscribe right now. Go to our iTunes channel. Leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review. We love the great comments. YouTube, just hit the little notification button. You get a notification every time we have a brand new episode dropping on YouTube. And if you guys want the entire on-demand library, the entire, every episode of the show that we've ever done, ad-free and uncensored, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. You get access to everything. Go binge watch all the old episodes. Fall in love all over again with the Believe in Me podcast.
Yeah. Fall in love. Hey, you're not talking to podcasts. I was on the Bobby Lee podcast.
I saw that with Rebecca.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Beck came along as well. It was great. But I never told Bobby Lee that she was coming. So there wasn't a microphone and a camera and things set up for Rebecca. She's on there, though. She comes on. I give her my microphone here and there. She's chatting away. It was fun. Bobby Lee's the man. So check that out if you get a chance, Tiger Belly. Harrington, without further ado, Hammer Fist does in a quick hittery style.
All right. First one up, Chris Weidman thinks he's the man to end the Stylebender's unbeaten streak. Here's the quote. I think that's a tailor-made matchup for me. Those athletic strikers, tall, lanky guys, I've proven that I can beat. I think pure wrestling, heavy punches and kicks, just nonstop pressure is what you need to beat them. That's the recipe to beat those guys. I proved that with Anderson Silva twice. Uriah Hall's another one. Those guys are in trouble against me. What do you gentlemen think? Is Chris Weidman the man to dethrone Israel Adesanya?
So when you hear that, the initial response is, well, this guy's out of his mind. This guy's crazy, right? What are you talking about? This guy can't fucking win a fight lately. He's out of his mind. But that aside, when you delve a little deeper and you look at it, you know, some of the guys, you know, that he lost to, you know, Dominic Reyes, he went up a weight division, no shame there, got clipped. He did beat Anderson Silva twice in, you know, bizarre circumstances. He did beat Uriah Hall as well. And then also, let's look at this. Look at the way Chris Weidman took out Kelvin Gastelum, right? Choked him out in the second round. So he does have a point. Chris Weidman is a very, very good wrestler. And I actually think Weidman would be the best takedown artist that Adesanya would have fought. However, he has passed that test with flying colors. And Weidman is a little bit chinny these days. He's been knocked out. He's been finished a few times. So I hear his point. I don't think his point is necessarily out of this world, but it's also a little bit of a stretch. If we were talking about the Weidman maybe 2-3 years ago, then yeah. But right now, I don't know. Now, it's not to say that it couldn't be possible, but as I say, I hear his point. I see what he's saying. I see why he's saying it, but I feel it's a bit of a stretch. Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off of 2 losses in a row, right? Am I wrong about that?
I'm not sure. Maybe he's lost a lot recently, unfortunately. Yeah,
I definitely
I'm not trying to talk shit.
No, I'm just saying it's a tough argument to make. The style argument is definitely there. You know, I get what he's saying, you know, but at the same time, Adesanya just, we gave him so much praise last week. I mean, he just jumped into the conversation for top 2 pound for pound, 3 pound for pound. I mean, if you take John Jones out of the conversation, I don't know who else there is. I mean, Adesanya, it's debatable that Adesanya could go and beat John Jones. We're talking about that. Chris Weidman, we just got to get him in the fucking win column. Just get a win. Just any win. Just get him. Just to go and say, well, I think I'm the guy to dethrone the guy who now everyone is saying is the best in the world. I'm saying we're getting ahead of ourselves. And I like Chris Weidman. I'm a fan. We're talking about how much we love Matt Serra.
Chris Weidman's awesome, but I just want to say this. I can't wait to hear what point. Look at the look on Harrington's face. I hope we can see a 3-screen right now, Brian. The look on his face, he's been itching and dying to chime in. He's been like going, every time. So we know Harrington has some fucking dynamite.
He won his last fight. Go fuck yourself, Harrington. I saw it. Yeah, he won his last fight.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis just took all the wind out of my sails. But yeah, he did get any win beating Omari Akhmedov in a, you know, interesting decision.
That is literally the way I would ever describe as any win.
And I've got to say, that win was a little slop as well. It wasn't like you weren't like, oh, he looks sharp, he looks great. I like Chris. Me and Chris are actually buddies now. We it was a little thing there. We were just competitors in the same weight division. Never anything too personal. So, you know, we comment on each other's Instagrams. Just nice little politeness here and there. So I don't want to talk shit, but he did look a little. It wasn't his best performance. A little slop. You know what I mean? But he got the job. Done. So it doesn't matter. A win-win is a win. Harrington, hammer fist us.
All right. So Khamzat Chimaev, he was supposed to be fighting Damian Maia, if you remember, on Fight Island. Dana said, we're scrapping that plan. He's going to get his own main event a little bit later on, you know, in the year, sometime in the fall in Las Vegas. He confirmed he reached out as high as number 5, Stephen Thompson, to offer him the fight. Thompson said no. He instead is angling for a fight with number 3, Leon Edwards. But what do you guys think about that? Khamzat Chimaev getting a top 5, getting the call to fight a top 5 ranked guy.
Lewis, you want to start?
No, you start. Okay. You're going to have a way better answer for this.
No, I was just trying to go, you know what I mean, make it fair. Listen, the Hamzat's in a tough position because, yeah, he's come into the UFC and he's won 3 fights, all 3 stoppages. His last fight was the first fucking punch that he threw and he knocked the guy out. So he's got tons of hype. It's all the MMA world are talking about him. Dana is behind him. The organization is behind him. The public seem to be behind him. They really like him. You know, he's been talked about a lot on the MMA sites and all this good stuff, right? So because of that, he's being fast-tracked, you know? And the proof is in the pudding. 3 fights, 3 finishes. Last one was outstanding. And Miocic was a step up in competition. Stylistically, could have given him a tough fight, but he didn't. 1 right hand, and that was all she wrote. So they're trying to give him, you know, a step up in competition. But if I'm anyone in the top 5, or if I'm anyone in the top 10, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, for example, and I'm not trying to go against the UFC here, but I would not take that fucking fight. And not because I'm scared. I'd be like, fuck that. I have earned my position to be ranked number 5 in the world, and I've done it the old-fashioned way. I've been around this sport for years and years and years, and you're going to bring in this fucking guy, right, that's had 3 fights, that realistically 6 months ago, nobody knew who this fucking guy was. And maybe he has. Maybe he has got a chance of beating me. But for me to risk that, there's only one person that's going to gain here. Chimaev is going to gain if he gets a win over Thompson. If Thompson loses to Chimaev, he's essentially done, and he's literally just been a stepping stone for Chimaev. So I understand him not wanting to take the fight.
If Stephen Thompson beats Chimaev, it's not really, number one, it's only a little blip for Chimaev. It's like, oh, he took too big of a fight too early, back to the drawing board. It's just a little bump in the road for his career. It doesn't really do anything for Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It doesn't help him in the rankings. It essentially, a little bit of that steam, but to be honest with you, Stephen Thompson is way more famous and has way more, quote unquote, heat in just in terms of where he's at in the rankings and respect from the MMA community. So he doesn't really need the heat that Chimaev has.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the UFC want to give him a big fight because he needs a big fight now, because he's got the steam, he's got the hype, he's got the momentum. Now we just need a big name. Gerald Meerschaert, God bless him, was a step up, but he ended him quick. So now he deserves a step up, But, asking the number five guy to risk everything that he's worked so hard for him, I kind of get it. And if I'm Wonderboy Thompson, I want to fight Leon Edwards all day long. In fact, where the fuck is Leon Edwards? I mean, Jesus, there's a guy that is one of the best in the world. He needs to be more active. Leon, if you're out there, buddy. Number one, let's get on the podcast, bud.
Secondly, I thought you were talking about specifically where is he on the podcast, because he was supposed to have been on already twice.
25 times. 25 times. Not twice. 25 times. Harrington, what you got next, bud?
Right. The friend of the show, Anthony Smith, says that he welcomes the call out from Johnny Walker following his win just a few weeks ago. What do you guys think of that fight?
Tricky, tricky situation for Anthony Smith there. So he got beat by Teixeira and he got beat of Alexander Rakic. No shame in either of those. And there would be no shame in losing to Johnny Walker either. Right. But let's look at the reality. If he was to lose, he would have lost three in a row. And going from, it wasn't that long ago, but last year he was fighting John Jones for the belt, and then now to go lose three in a row. And two, those first other two were stoppages, right? Did Rakic stop him? He did, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So two stoppages in a row. And Johnny Walker is an unpredictable, very explosive, unorthodox striker. Right. And he's always got that chance of catching you with something stupid. Now, I respect Anthony Smith so much because he knows everything I just said. But he's like, nah, fuck that. I can beat the shit out of this guy. I can beat Johnny Walker. He said, Johnny Walker is powerful. Johnny Walker is unorthodox, but he hasn't got the fundamentals. He hasn't got the skills, the basics that win fights. We haven't seen him when he's up against adversity in the third or fourth round, getting his ass kicked. Has he got the mental toughness to rebound from things like that and come back and win the fight? And again, I understand why Anthony Smith is saying that, and I respect him for saying it. But if I'm Anthony Smith, and not if I'm Anthony Smith or Michael Bisping the fighter, if I was managing Anthony Smith, I'd be like, no, fuck that. You probably could beat him. There's a good chance, but he could get you as well. And if you lose that and you get stopped, because the odds, if you're going to lose to Johnny Walker, more than likely it's going to be a crazy fucking weird knockout, right? He's going to fucking drop kick you from the other side of the octagon. Then he's going to pop his shoulder out whilst he does a fucking celebration. It's going to be something weird, right? Then you've lost three in a row. And what do you gain? Because Johnny Walker's not exactly knocking on the title doorstep anytime soon. So it's a delicate situation for Anthony Smith.
What are their respective rankings, Harrington? Because that sort of plays into how much it makes sense, right? Because Johnny Walker coming off a big win, come from behind victory, granted, but it was a big win. And Anthony Smith coming off of two losses in a row. I mean, Anthony Smith is sort of in a weird position because, number one, he's not really in a position to be picking and choosing his opponents with two losses in a row. And then, I mean, where else do you go? I mean, you need a guy who has somewhat of a name who's coming up. I mean, in my opinion, I think that's kind of a perfect matchup.
What are the rankings, Harrington?
Anthony Smith is ranked number 7. Johnny Walker ranked number 9. And just wanted to clarify one last thing. That Rakic win was a decision for Rakic. But if you remember, it was only a 3-round main event there.
Right. Okay, now thank you for clearing that up. Yeah, listen, rankings-wise, as you said, Lewis, it does make sense. It does make sense. And I guess at the end of the day, he's here to fight. That's what you get paid for. That's what you're contracted to do. And I guess
and
coming
it's not
off two
like
losses,
Shemaev, because you were just talking about how Shemaev was like, you know, Stephen Thompson almost is like earned his right to turn down that fight. You know, Anthony Smith, it's not like he was a household name more than the John Jones, you know, fight was sort of his coming out party. It's like, the more you even talk about it, the more I really, really like that fight. And I like that fight for Anthony Smith. I think Anthony Smith wins that fight.
It's a logical, it is a logical fight. And it's a good fight for Walker to start climbing back up the rankings. And it would be a good fight for Anthony Smith to get back in the win column and to beat somebody with hype. You know, Johnny Walker last year, everybody thought, you know, he was the white next coming of Jesus, you know, and then his role got slowed a little bit. But there is a lot to gain in that respect for Anthony Smith. It is a risky fight. But then, as I said, to your point, yeah, well, you're here to fucking fight. You know what I mean? I guess you can't pick and choose your easiest path to victory. My point was, you know, and this is the difference in the boxing world. If you lose a fight, right, then you have what's called a comeback fight, a tune-up fight. You take a little bit of time away, you work on some things, and then you come back, and you have a tune-up fight. You don't go back in against fucking a guy that could be the champion of the world or the number two, which, by the way, that is the flaw with boxing, and that's where there's always been problems with boxing, and that's why the UFC have done a really good job of eradicating those systemic problems that combat sports have. You know, in the UFC, the best people fight the best people. And it's not complicated by all these different managerial setups and splitting the purses and agreeing purses and all that type of stuff. The UFC, there's your contract. You got your contract. Okay, now you fuckers going to fight. So, yeah, listen, even though I said before, it is a risky fight for Anthony Smith. And I don't mean that necessarily because he might lose. But if he does lose, he's lost three in a row. But, yeah, at the end of the day, they're here to fight. So, fuck it. Match him up. Let's go. Harrington, you convinced me, Lewis.
They're finally. Finally,
you got me.
It's the one time I've been able to sway Bisping's opinion during one of these segments.
Now, if only I can get you to have a diet, a fucking Coke Zero.
The more we talk about it, I mean, I'm going directly after this. I'm saying screw jiu-jitsu practice. I'm going to be grabbing me a big old bottle of Coke Zero.
Get a Coke Zero and go do some squats. Harrington, what else we got?
Okay, I thought this one was kind of interesting. DC did not appreciate John Jones teasing a return to light heavyweight. Here's the quote. He said, "That's so whack. Have you ever met a guy that's so out of touch? He's out of touch. It's like, okay, John, then why not just go? I was afraid of Dominic Reyes. Now I want to go back to 205 and fight Jan Błachowicz because he beat Dom. That's crazy. Why would he do that? I mean, who does that? Who does that? Do you guys agree? Is John Jones threatening to go back to 205 an announcement that he's afraid of Dominic Reyes?
First of all, did John Jones respond? Because we know that's what DC said on the DC Helwani show. Is there a response from John Jones? Or before I give my response, I know you're just looking right now, Harrison, so I'll keep talking for a second. Just chime in when you know. So yeah, look, listen, what DC's saying kind of does stack up, right? Because John Jones didn't want to, if you're to believe DC, he didn't want to fight Reyes again, right? But then all of a sudden Reyes gets knocked out and then Błachowicz is the champ, right? So Reyes isn't going to fight John Jones. And now all of a sudden, I'm just saying I understand DC's perspective. He said, oh, look at that. All of a sudden the guy wants to go back down to light heavyweight and fight Błachowicz. Whereas before that, he was like, fuck that, I'm done. I'm not staying at light heavyweight. I'm moving up to heavyweight. So I understand what DC's saying, but I just... You know, there's always two sides. And for a guy like John Jones with his resume, I don't really think it's fair to say that, you know, Jones is necessarily scared of anybody.
Yeah, especially in rematches. I mean, Jones has notoriously looked better in rematches than he did the first time out. He's got just such a smart fighter, high IQ fighter, high level fighter. To say that he's, you know, running from Dominic Reyes, but to come back and fight Błachowicz when Błachowicz just knocked out Dominic Reyes, it just logically doesn't make sense. It sounds like DC, a lot of what he's saying is painted by his hatred for John Jones. I don't buy that John Jones is afraid of anybody. I got to be honest with you.
I don't think he's afraid. Harrington, I see you with a smirk on your face, and that's led me to believe it. Did I not see a tweet from John Jones, something to do with the head kick or something to DC?
I mean, it's rough. DC calling me out of touch. The only thing that was out of touch was the consciousness from his body and that belt from around his waist. I get it. I'd hate me too.
Oh God, that's pretty good, to be fair. You know, DC called me the other day. We were having a chat about something else, and he said, because Blachowicz went at DC as well, didn't he? Harrington Blachowicz messaged DC. Obviously, John Jones is talking shit to DC. Conor McGregor was on Twitter the other day calling DC a fat bastard or something like that. So DC is getting it from all angles. See, this is what happens, Lewis. You retire from combat sports and everybody thinks you're fucking fair game. You know what I mean? You just got to remind people here and there. Harrington, why have you disappeared? Is that the end of the hammer fisting segment?
No, I just, you know, figured I'll let you guys, get into it. You don't need all the distraction of the craziness we got with the whole studio behind me here.
It's okay. I can focus. What else we got then?
Okay. Let me see. Speaking of Israel Adesanya, all right, fine. Two guys who he says he would like to fight, says he wants a fight before 2021, wants a fight before the end of the year. The two guys who he's looking at said Jan. I said, we like that fight with Jan. I like 205. I am the best 205er in the world. What can I say? Also, Cannoneer, I'm still waiting for that. Everything is in the air right now. Let me chill.
Adesanya says he's the best 205er in the world.
Yes.
Has he ever fought a 205?
No.
Okay. You know, bold statements. I like the high level shit talking. He should believe in himself. He should say, you know, we've heard this for a long time. You know, I mean, he should believe that he should be able to beat anyone at 205. That's not a crazy thought. In fact, I bet you, if you ask most 185 pounders, Bisping, they would tell you that they could beat Jan. Most 185 pounders.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, for sure. And then these, well, I don't know about all of them, but a lot of them would say that. Let's remember.
In the UFC top 20, right? If you talk to most of them.
Middleweight and light heavyweight, they're not that far, even though it's a 20-pound separation. When you see middleweights when they're not sucked in, you know what I mean? They're comparable in sizes. You know what I mean? Two light heavyweights. So there's always, you know what I mean? There's always those discussions on who's going to win. And I like what Izzy's saying. You know what I mean? I would like to see that. However, if I'm Jan Blachowicz, I don't want to take that fight just yet. You know what I mean? I've just won the belt. Yeah. And it's a little early to start doing super fights. You've just won it.
Against a lighter guy? Fuck that. There's not much upside.
Defend it once or twice first. You know what I mean? And, you know, so.
Yeah, let Stylebender go and continue to let his star rise, continue to build equity. He's just a fucking massive star. And the more he keeps winning, the more he's going to continue to be more valuable. Same thing with Jan. I think that, you know, if you think you could beat the 205-pound champion, you think you're the best 205-pounder in the world. So I don't think it's crazy that you would speak to most high-level 185-pounders. I remember you would say that all the time. You wanted to fight DC when he was champion and you were champion, and you were half-kidding because you guys were friends. You would, like, bust each other's balls about it. But, you know, you get a couple of drinks, and you'd be like, no, I'll fucking beat DC.
Yeah, 100%, because, again, for Adesanya to go up to 205, there's zero risk, right? Because if you pull it off, you are the man. You are the badass. And if you lose, well, guess what? You still have the balls to go up and fight a bigger man. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's a win-win for the lighter guy, and it's a lose-lose for the heavier guy most of the time. Harrington, you're trying to say something.
Devil's advocate, Nate Diaz.
You don't get to say devil's advocate. Whoa.
You don't devil's advocate. Are you fucking
crazy?
Take
that back.
All right, fine. I take it back. I'm not allowed to say it anymore.
Thank you.
So I think the biggest prize, genuinely, in the UFC right now, is Israel Adesanya's undefeated record. The first man to beat him is getting a $10 million rematch a la Nate Diaz.
Whoa. You're saying that's bigger than taking the O from Khabib Nurmagomedov? Because you're out of your fucking mind.
You're wrong. Yeah, you're completely wrong.
Okay, second biggest prize in the company.
Well, that changes it. A minute ago, it was the biggest. Now it's the second biggest. It doesn't stack up.
Might as well be the fifth.
Yeah, you know.
I love what Carrington's confidence. Sometimes he's a little overzealous. He's like, that's a $10 million rematch. Just what the fuck do you? You don't know nothing about these numbers, Harrington. You're pulling these numbers out of your ass.
I mean, that's what's widely rumored. That's what Nate got for that Conor rematch. That's what the number of people in the internet, Twitter space, whatever, Twitter MMA thinks that Nate got for that fight. I think that's what you're looking at if you get a win over Israel.
Conor, Israel's not Conor, nowhere near yet. And to be honest with you, maybe never will be. Conor, dude, we may not get another Conor, you know,
no,
ever. Who fucking knows?
There won't be another Conor. Israel is a huge star, and he's only going to get bigger and bigger, and he's doing big pay-per-view numbers, and he's earning great money, and he's going to be a legend in the sport, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame for sure, no doubt, one day. But I don't think anyone's going to recreate the level of star power that we've seen from Conor McGregor. Nobody.
I mean, maybe one day, possible. But it's going to be a very, very, it's who have we seen before? Brock, but that's not the same. It doesn't count. Like Brock was a star in wrestling and like, it's a little bit of a cheat. Like Connor came in and it was like lightning in a bottle. He had everything. It was the style. It was the country, the accent, the look, the attitude, the fucking stupid walk with his dumb arms. Everything just stuck. And I have friends who are not MMA fans and they have Conor McGregor pictures on their Instagram. And it's because he transcends the sport. And it's rare you see that. It's very, very far few in between. I don't really know. You can't really give anybody else that sort of credit the same way that Conor.
No, I totally agree. And, MMA casuals or if I speak to Ellie's friends, let's say some of her friends are at the house, they know nothing about MMA, but they know Conor McGregor's name, and they'll say, oh, would you fight Conor McGregor? There was would you fight Conor McGregor? I'm like, listen, let me tell you something about Conor McGregor. Okay. If you saw him, he's a surprisingly small fellow. Do you know what I mean? We would not be in the same weight class. He's about the size of my leg. Yes. He's very, very good for his size, but we would not fight. No, I'm fucking put that in your pipe and smoke it.
If you caught him, you're not going to fight him. You're going to ask him for his pot of gold.
Yeah, exactly. I was, give me your autograph. Yeah. All right, Harrison, you've disappeared off the screen. Is that it? That's the end of the second monte.
Yeah, I'm good. I think
we're set
here.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. You're good. All right. Well, we've been going on for a while there. Should we wrap this one up?
It's a good show. 2-hour show, I think, or close to it.
2 hours. My God, we're getting longer and longer. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Holly Holm, Irene Aldana. Let's just do a quick bet on that one because they are fighting this
weekend. I'm not betting any more fucking money on this sport.
All right. It's a very defeatist attitude you have there. Listen, quitters never win. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Is that your next book?
You can turn this around. Well,
that's your next book? Yeah. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
No, but that's like an old expression, that your mom always said to you.
I know.
If at first you don't succeed, try again. Yeah, but all right. Well, listen, Holly Holm, Irene Aldana, I'll just go out on a limb. I'll do it. I'll go there, Lewis. I don't care. I say Aldana, decisione. She wins. Upset. Yeah, that's right. I said
Aldana
it.
Aldana Aldea.
Aldana Aldea, my bookie Aegea. They will book double your money with the promo code Believe It. Okay? So do it. Put it on Irene Aldana. Unless Brian's going to take Holly Holm, in which case I'll go with
Brian,
Holly.
What do you say, Master Brian? What do you think is going to happen in this fight? Because I'm just going to let Brian bet all my money from now on.
Yeah, money bags. Fucking Scrooge McDuck there swimming through your fucking gold coins. Who wins?
Well, I already said it before we started recording, but I think that Holly Holmes is going to chew this fucking chick apart.
No.
All right, well, Brian has not been wrong about a single fight pick in 10 fights.
From a distance. No, it won't work. Aldana's good. She's long. She's rangy. She's good. She's fast. I don't know. It's a tough fight. It's a close fight. Holmes got probably a bit of a footwork and boxing advantage. She's got the experience advantage. I don't know. I haven't got the stats in front of me. She's probably a little bit taller, a little bit longer. But,
You know.
All right, that's it. Take it easy.
Thanks, everyone. We'll check you on Monday. Peace.